about outside challenges, you always have to mention the man with the libertarian cult following, Dr. Ron Paul, who we have live with us now. Dr. Paul, thank you very much for joining us. I know you and Jesse have had a long relationship.
That is right, and good to talk with both of you, and good to say hello to Jesse.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. A good afternoon we are now. I've been up a long time today, but it's, you know, I'll tell you, it was wonderful joining forces with you. I'll never forget it at that Republican National Convention in St. Paul when you and I headed the counter convention at the Target Center in Minneapolis, sold out to the brink, to the rafters, and we had no more security than what's normally there at a Minnesota Timberwolf basketball game. And yet the Republican side, you'd think you were going into Beirut, Lebanon, into a war zone. Am I not right, Dr. Paul?
Yeah, you're right, but we didn't have no more security than that. But we didn't have any problems at all whatsoever. We didn't have any media coverage either, which was characteristic. You know, when we'd have a successful event in the presidential campaigns that when I was, you know, running, we could get good crowds out, but never was there coverage. I think during that time there was no competition with the other group for large crowds, and we were able to get the large crowds. But you know how it works. I mean, they're not going to give you any credit at all. So you have to fight your way along.
And that's what we got to do. And that's what I hope comes out of this election today. The perfect scenario, Dr. Paul, that I wanted to have happen, I wanted Governor Johnson or Jill Stein to get enough electoral votes to where there wouldn't, no one would reach that magic 270. And then maybe, and this is my personal opinion, we would abolish the Electoral College and go to a popular vote, which in my opinion, it should be that way. It should not be the Electoral College.
Well, it doesn't look like that's going to work out. And, you know, I've sort of predicted that their vote would fade, partially, you know, partly because of the control of the media and all this. Don't waste your vote. Don't waste your vote. You overcame that and you were able to do it. But basically, you know, when I ran as a libertarian, I can remember that was it. Why waste your vote? I said, yeah, why would you vote for the Republican and the Democratic candidate? That's wasting your vote. Why don't you make your vote count? But no, generally they win. And so they've gone down. You know, especially Johnson's gone down here, so his percentage will probably be fairly low tonight, but they gradually, you know, build this case up that, you know, the world depends on the election between Republicans and Democrats. But quite frankly, I've come to the conclusion that we don't have two parties. We have one party. They call them Republicans and Democrats. But how many campaigns have we seen where there has been a significant change, you know, when it goes from Republican to Democrat? It seems like they end up doing the same thing no matter what they say in the campaign.
Dr. Paul, do you see any hope at all in the future for a third entity, a third person getting involved in the debates, or is it a lost cause?
Well, I don't see our problem as a lost cause, but I don't predict it. You all know this will wake people up and they'll demand democracy in America. You know, I've said so often that we go overseas, we spend a lot of money, send troops over, kill a lot of people, Americans get killed, and we make them have elections like America, act like good Americans. Then they have the elections and we don't like them, and then we have to overthrow the next guy. So I don't wait on changing it. I don't think it's going to happen. I have sort of shifted my emphasis. I never was much into this politics stuff because I think the ideology of a country is the most important thing. Like, for instance, today we have one party. Both Republican Democrats endorse Keynesianism and inflationism, the Federal Reserve and the IRS and all these instruments of big government. Where I think that if you have a true revolution of ideas, you should be able to infiltrate all the parties. So, yes, I'll do anything I can to help alternative parties and independents and libertarians, and I've even thrown out some encouragement to the Green Party because we should work together to get a more democratic process. But I don't think it's likely to happen. So I think I'd like to work real hard on changing people's mind. That's why I've stuck in the education business. I have a homeschooling program. I'd like to educate young people because I don't think this election is going to make any difference, quite frankly. I've watched these too often, and most of the time we end up with the same type of problems we've had. And, a change, you know, it's always a change. You vote for me and we'll have a change, but I've been waiting for that change, you know, for 30, 40 years, and I never see it.
I haven't either, you know, and I agree with Dr. Paul completely. If you elect a Democrat or Republican, it's just the same government you're going to get. And why? Because both of them are bought and sold by the same corporate entities. I always like to tell people, go to the two conventions, and you'll see the same lobbyists paying off both sides. It's the equivalent if you bet on the Super Bowl. Well, if you bet on both teams, you're not going to lose, are you, Lindsay?
Well, no, and in 2012, Dr. Paul, you had a massive upset with, you know, being disqualified for lack of support. And it enraged people.
Oh, yeah, this, I mean, what they did to us at the convention, actually it backfired on them because it actually hurt the party this time, but they changed the rules in the middle of the game so that I wouldn't even, you know, it wasn't like I was about to take over the convention and be the nominee. But, you know, we did win several states. We qualified. We should have been the nominee and should have had a speech. But, no, they changed the rules in the middle of the game, which came back to haunt the party this time. But that's characteristic, you know, whether it's in the political organization or government. They just changed the rules. I mean, look how our current president has changed the rules. Congress won't do this or that. Well, I'll write an executive order. So our system, both in the electoral process as well as the governing process, our government, is totally out of control. And that's why I see significant changes coming despite what the immediate results will be of the election. Because this is not a viable system we have. It's either going to really deteriorate or we're going to wake up and take advantage of this because people are sick and tired of it. You know, they don't believe the government anymore. Jesse, can you believe they don't even believe the government reports on Kennedy assassinations and 9/11 assassinations? People have gone distrustful. And I think this is very healthy. And now, you know, they're even challenging the Federal Reserve system. And now we're going to be moving into a very, very serious economic crisis. And they have to challenge all of these events. So I think that I'd like to feed into those people that need ammunition to why we should be challenging the status quo of what's been, you know, coming out of our universities. And, you know, this cultural Marxism, it's all preached by the university professors, and they go and they stand behind this. And this is why I think it's up to all of us to try to get people to change their minds. When the people change their minds, the government will change their mind. Right now, there's still a lot of people who like government spending. For that reason, the discouraging thing on today's election will be most people that are in the Congress are still going to get elected. And if Hillary wins, you can say the status quo got elected. It's pretty tragic.
And Dr. Paul, how is that? How is it when you see a Congress that has an approval rating of sometimes bordering on single digit, and yet they all still get reelected? Is it because of the way they gerrymander the districts to where they're uncompetitive? Is that the sole reason, where you know ahead of time they make districts, well, the Repubs will win here, the Dems will win here, and we won't make them to where they're competitive at all? Because that's astounding to me, how they could have a 10% approval rating and yet 90% of them get reelected.
Yeah, I think gerrymandering is a big part of it, but then again, even those hardcore conservatives will have a district where they build airplanes. And, you know, the F-35 is built in all 50 states. Everybody gets part of it. Say, oh, well, we can't vote against a weapon. We might need it someday, like fun. I mean, most of these weapons they're building now are archaic. They're World War II weapons, and they're not working very well. But everybody thinks, oh, well, under these, I have to make an exception. The people want me to have an exception. I can't vote against this because that means jobs for my district. And they get sucked into this, and they don't have you know, much of a backbone to stand up to it and tell the people, look, this is wrong. If we're going to vote, if we want to stop it in other people's district, we have to stop it in our own districts as well. But I think this is why I'm optimistic, is we're going to go broke and they're not going to be able to get away with that anymore.
Well, yeah, and of course,
I think that'll change our
exactly. And as
well,
you say, the younger generation's going to pay for it, but at least the younger generation seems hungry for a revolution.
That, you know.
Yeah, well. Former presidential candidate and chair of the Institute for Peace and Prosperity, Dr. Ron Paul, thank you very much.